massive layoffs coming to Cuba.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us in the United States. Cuba says it's eliminating 500,000 state workers over the next year. In return, the government says it'll allow some people to become self-employed or even try and spur hiring at private firms there. The communist government currently employs about 95% of the Cuban workforce. Joblessness could pose the next big threat to the global economic recovery. The head of the International Monetary Fund said long-term unemployment could even lead to massive social unrest. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is live with us from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
How bad is the global unemployment situation? We just heard about Cuba, right?
Yeah, well, the latest figures put unemployment at its highest in history. Officially, 210 million are out of work worldwide, 34 million of them as a result of the crisis. And long-term unemployment's getting worse. In the US, half the unemployed have been out of work for over 6 months, something we haven't seen since the Great Depression. As you say, the head of the IMF says this could easily lead to serious social unrest.
And what is the head of the IMF proposing as a remedy?
Well, he says very clearly what governments should not do. He says they should not cut public spending drastically. He says that will only make matters worse. And this is a direct rebuke to U.S. Republicans who are calling for cuts and to the British government, which is actually planning major cuts. And this coincides with a warning here from a British police chief that the police may not be able to cope with the likely unrest in Britain. Mind you, the sceptics say there's a certain amount of special pleading here. The police could well themselves be one of the targets of the British cuts, and they want to warn the UK government that whatever they cut, the police must remain unscathed.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
The World Economic Forum is meeting in China. At its opening ceremony, the Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao admitted that some of China's policies are making it hard for foreign businesses in China. Marketplace's Shanghai Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
It wasn't an apology, but Premier Wen's rare admission of guilt was exactly what foreign investors in China wanted to hear.
I thought it was very encouraging and consistent with what he's been saying recently.
Christian Merck is president of the American Chamber of Commerce in China. Lately, his group has been on the offensive against China, criticizing the country for making life more difficult for foreign businesses. One Chinese policy in his crosshairs gives preferential treatment to Chinese technology over foreign technology for government contracts. Merck hopes Wen's comments signal change.
A more active and serious dialogue is certainly in progress, but I haven't seen any major change in behavior yet.
Other foreign investors haven't seen it yet either. Most of them agree whether it's shutting foreign companies out of government contracts or blatantly pirating foreign technology, China can still be a tricky place to do business. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Asian markets are all over the place today. European shares are losing a little ground at the moment, thanks in part to some sour British housing news. Wall Street yesterday, the Nasdaq gained 2%. The Dow tacked on just under 1%, 81 points to close at 10,544.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. And by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM.
The final season of Oprah's talk show premiered this week. Once it ends, the show will leave a huge gap in the local economy of Chicago, a place that's been home to many popular talk shows. Chicago Public Radio's Tony Arnold reports.
If there are ever plans for a TV talk show Hall of Fame, Chicago would be the perfect location. For decades, the Windy City's been home to a variety of personalities who brought their own twist to the Gabfest format. Of course, there's Oprah with her emotional and more personal take.
Well, we're going to talk to Elliot's mom and dad when we come back.
But there's also been Jerry Springer, who went for more of the absurd.
Would you sleep with your mother?
I don't know. It depends.
Robert Feeder is a media reporter and blogger. He says Chicago's talk show history goes back to the 1940s.
There was something called the Chicago School of Television, which referred to a low-budget, very personal, one-on-one style of making television.
Dave Garraway, the first host of the Today Show, got his start here. Studs Terkel used a Chicago diner as the setting for his talk show.
This is Studs' place. Any minute, there'll be a story happening here.
Chicago historian Tim Samuelson says that Think on Your Feet style led to Phil Donahue, who acted more as a newsman in front of a live audience and dominated the ratings until Oprah came along.
This was very much in the Chicago television tradition.
Chicago talk peaked in the 90s when Oprah and Springer fought for viewers along with Jenny Jones, whose show included themes like Too Buff to Date. But one by one, Chicago's talk show landscape has become a ghost town. Oprah ends her show in May, and Jerry Springer recently moved his show to Connecticut. Media reporter Robert Feeder.
The fact is that the city and the state of Illinois have not stepped up to the extent that other places have in providing the kind of financial incentives and tax breaks that have enticed much of the production elsewhere.
Feeder says Chicago should fear not, though. He says some other syndicated talk shows are in the works to be filmed in the city, including one from Howard Stern called Bubba the Love Sponge. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
And finally, rapper Jay-Z, along with Eminem, played Yankee Stadium last night, the first ever concert at the billion-dollar Bronx Baseball Emporium. But Jay-Z's been in a sports state of mind for a while. He owns part of the New Jersey Nets basketball team, and now he says he's getting into the British soccer business, wanting a chunk of the London team, the Arsenal. The rapper says he'd have to spend more time in London learning about the soccer business, which is kind of like rapping, but with 11 players kicking a round ball on a grassy field. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.